The following is a message of First Baptist Richardson. For more information, please visit fbcr.org.
All right, if you have a Bible, turn to Psalm 51. And so we have been in a really cool series about really the core of it is just this idea of how do you really connect to God in a meaningful, intimate way. And so I'm a pastor, which is always really weird. Like I love what I do, but I wish I could tell people I wasn't a pastor, because as soon as you say that, people get weird 9 times out of 10. And so I legit have people that I know, whether they're strangers or even family members, and as soon as they find out or they know that I'm a pastor, they'll even introduce me to friends as like, oh yeah, this is Matt, he's a pastor, like that's really important for you to know, so like don't cuss right now, pretend like you don't sin, right? And what's so crazy about that whole deal to me, well really, it's actually extremely disappointing to me, is because you don't get the real person. You get the person that they want to portray themselves as, right? So, like, they want to make sure that you know, like, hey, I go to church. And so they kind of change the conversation that they would have. Or my favorite is when you get in a situation and like, someone's telling some story. And then they realize, oh, man, like, this story is inappropriate. And so there's, like, the awkward, like, how do I navigate out of this? Because Matt's listening, right? And so here's what I want you to hear me say. What I find so intriguing about that is what people don't understand is when they don't just be themselves, like it hinders the relationship we can have, right? Like if they have to pretend to be different, then I'm not really seeing the real them, and then I have to react to what they're giving me, and so it's this block, this hindrance in the relationship that we can have, in the intimacy that we can have. And so what I know is true of most of us in this room, there are times when we do that with God. Some of us more than others, but there are times when we act differently towards God as if God doesn't know the real us. And so we pray different, or we don't pray certain things we want to pray. We don't say certain things we want to say. And so what I want to do with you this morning is I want to just give a message that I would entitle Getting Real with God. And so here's the idea. I want to point out to you just a couple of things from Psalm 51 that I think are so obvious to us that I think we miss it when we read it. So it's not rocket science. I'm going to point out to you some of the most obvious things that I think if you were to do on a regular basis in your relationship with Jesus, it would radically transform your intimacy, your walk with him, how deep you can go with him. And so we're going to look at Psalm 51. We're not going to read all of it. We're going to jump around a little bit. So I hope you have a Bible. And we're going to start above verse 1, right? The little preface right there. This is what it says. It says, for the director of music, a psalm of David, when the prophet Nathan came to him after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. So here's the most obvious thing that I want you to see. It starts and it says, to the choir master, a psalm of David. This is literally a song David wrote. Whenever you read the word a psalm, it means melody. So he put lyrics, poetry to a melody. So David wrote a song. So regardless of your gifting, your talent, here's what I know about music. It doesn't just happen, right? Like there's an intentionality behind me sitting down and writing a song. So even if I have all the talent in the world or have no talent, it takes time and effort and energy, and there's probably a rough draft and a first draft and a second draft and a third draft, right? Like it is me being intentional about the things that I'm saying and the music I want to be with it. So I think this is so obvious that we miss it. So please hear me. David has thought a lot about this song. David has put time and energy and effort into this song. This came from a deep place in his heart and in his soul. These weren't just happenstance words. If you ever talk to an artist, whether it's a musical artist, a drawing artist, what you will find is a lot of times, man, these people, they feel deeply. They're emotional, like emotionally charged, or at least things impact them deeply, and so when it comes out of them, these things are very vulnerable for them.
So it's a psalm. Here's the next part. It says a psalm of David when the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. So quick context just to make sure we're on the same page, because I know most of us grew up in church, but some of us didn't. So here's the quick story. You ready? So there was this little shepherd boy named David. Literally, he went and watched sheep. And he also was apparently a pretty legit musician, because he would play like the harp, the lyre, kind of like the acoustic guitar, if you will, all right? The acoustic guitar of the day. So he would play this even for the king at the time, King Saul. So the Bible says that whenever there was an oppressive spirit on top of Saul, he would invite David to come in and play. And the dude was so legit, and there was something spiritual about what he did. It said that it was a relief to Saul that the demonic oppression that was on him would leave. And so this is David. And one day, the prophet Samuel comes and says, hey, we are anointing David as king. So now David becomes this king. But before he does that, you hear the story of David and Goliath, right? So David is this this military dude, ultimately, like where he rises to power and he's a general. He's a commander of armies. So what I want you to hear me say is this dude, David, like he has many gifts, right? Like I don't think of the dude who's sitting there playing the acoustic guitar, the same dude that picks up a sword and a rock and kills a giant in the name of Jesus. Like, this dude is a beast. And so he's this king, he's conquered armies, and one day he's sitting out on his roof and he sees this woman bathing on the rooftop naked. Now, I know to us that's like so weird, but that's just how it was back in the day, right? So he goes on his rooftop, he sees this fine girl bathing, and he says, hey, I want that. And so he sends a dude to go get her. He gets Bathsheba. He has sex with Bathsheba. Bathsheba gets pregnant. So ultimately, he figures out a way to try to fix all of this, which leads to him being responsible for killing Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. And so he sends Uriah out to the front lines purposely so that he would die. And so now he has not only committed adultery, but then he's murdered this girl's husband. And what's so crazy is when you read the story, it seems like he doesn't really care until one day God sends the prophet Nathan. And Nathan tells him this parable, this story about how there was a poor man who had one sheep and a rich man who had many, and this rich man took the poor man's sheep, right? All of that was to get at this. He wanted to enrage David's anger towards this rich man. And then Nathan looks at David and says, that's you, dude. Like, you're the rich man. You have murdered and you have committed adultery. And so it was as if David's sin was so deceptive in his heart, he didn't really even get how bad it really was. And so all of that to say this, the words that are coming out of David at this point, not only are they super intentional and super vulnerable, but they're birthed out of a place where he has a deep conviction of his own sin. And so now I want to read to you part of this psalm. With that being the backdrop, listen to these words. Verse 1, it says this. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. I want you to skip down to verse 10. He says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Now look at me. I think it's so obvious we miss it. David is just pouring out what he wants to God. He's giving God his heart. He says, God, be merciful to me. Make me clean. Don't throw me away from your presence. So please hear me. I think the first thing you and I need to understand is when it comes to God, we need to be real with what we want. We need to be real with what we want. Now, I know that saying that to you is like, duh, obvious. But really, think about your prayer life. Think about your relationship with the Lord. How often do you just give him your raw, real emotion? This is God, what I'm asking for. This is what I want from you. This is what I need from you. This is how I feel. How often do you do that? So, I used to be in student ministry, and now I'm in young adult ministry, and here's what fascinates me. I end up having the same conversation, regardless of if you're 13, 17, 25, 35. I have the same conversation. This is usually how it goes. Hey, Matt, I want a deeper relationship with Jesus, but I don't know really what that looks like. And so on more than one occasion, I've had this conversation where someone tells me, hey, man, I'm doing this. I'm going to this Bible study. I'm going to this Sunday school class. I'm doing this thing, and it's not feeding me. It's not growing me. And so I say, well, then why don't you stop doing that and go find something that actually feeds you? And no joke, without fail, they look at me and say, what do you mean? Like I can actually stop going to Sunday school? I can stop reading the Bible? I can stop doing this thing? And I said, yeah, if you feel like that thing is not feeding you, then stop doing it. Find something that does, right? And so without them saying it, in essence, what they're saying is, no, I thought I had to do these things that weren't coming from my heart. And my point to them is, no, go do the thing that gets you more of God. Don't just go through religious motions. I have this same conversation with people all the time. Hey, man, I'm reading the Bible and it's really boring. Like, I don't get it. And so I said, okay, well, check this out. Have you ever tried, like, skipping the parts that are boring? And they're like, well, no, not really. I said, how about this? How about you just open the Bible, start with Matthew. And when you don't understand something, check this out, you're going to be blown away. Just keep reading till you get to the part you understand. And then the part you understand, think about that and pray about that and ask God to do something with that. The parts you don't understand, the parts that are boring, skip those. And without fail, they're like, what do you mean, skip those? It's like, that's my point. Just be real with who you are. If the Bible is boring to you, be real with that. Don't pretend and put on a facade like you're fascinated by it. That's not helping you grow in the Lord. And so what I want you to see is the obviousness of this text is that David was just real with what he wanted. Over and over, he says, God, blot out my transgressions. Make me clean. Wash me whiter than snow. That's coming from a place where he says, man, I feel dirty and I want to be clean. So let me go to God and ask for cleansing. So I meet sometimes, I counsel guys who have been struggling with different things, and it blows me away whenever they're telling me what they struggle with, and I said, okay, so how often have you prayed to God and asked him to free you of that struggle? And more often than not, the answer is either zero or like one or two times. And so I'm sitting there thinking, that makes no sense to me. Because if you really want to be free from that, and you acknowledge that it is Jesus who makes you free, then why would you not constantly plead with Jesus to make you free? And the answer, without them having to say so, is this. Well, I thought I had to do something else. You mean I'm supposed to just be real and honest with God? Yeah, you're just supposed to be real and honest with God. If you want freedom from God, you pray until he gives you freedom. Sometimes you counsel people and, man, they're just angry at God, right? Like they have doubts and fears and concerns. And so I say, hey, man, you're allowed to feel all of that. Here's my question, though. Have you expressed that to God? And the answer over and over I get, no. Like I can't express my anger towards God. He's God. Why not? Have you read the Psalms? Read the Psalms. I mean, they say craziness. True story. Like they say, oh my goodness, this doesn't even make sense to me. So I think it's David. He's writing and he's talking about basically wanting to be a conqueror. And so he says, God, I want you to take my enemies and I want you to take their little babies and bash their heads against rocks. Now, I don't know what your theology tells you about that, but my theology tells me at the very least, God can handle the realness of our requests. Because even though that sounds crazy to us, what it shows me is that there is just this profound sense in which God just says, give me your heart. If what is wicked comes out of you, he'll clean that part up. But you have to be honest with God. So I know I'm beating a dead horse, but here's why. Because see, I think you and I are missing out on the intimacy we can have with Jesus. Because we're not really giving him our real heart. We either pretend things are better than they are, or that we're better than we are. But he just says, man, just come to me and be who you are. A couple more things. Look at verse 3. It says, "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge." So not only is David honest about what he wants from God, but he's honest about who he is. He's honest about his situation. He doesn't pretend like he's not a sinful dude. He says, "God, no, I understand. I am wrought with sin. Not only do I understand my sin, but I understand that my sin, it's really not against Bathsheba. It's really not against Uriah. My sin, it's against you. You only have I sinned against." So it's not just about being real with God, but I think sometimes it's about us being honest with ourselves and our own relationship with God. See, sometimes I think we hinder our own intimacy with God because we try to lie and pretend we're better than we are, right? Like with the Bible reading thing, like we try to pretend like, okay, one day I'm just gonna be this awesome Bible scholar. Like, why can't you just go to God and be honest? "God, I find your Bible hard to read." Like, why can't we do that? And I think it's because we think, no, I can't be real about how I feel. God won't like that. I mean, God is fine with how you feel. He knows how you feel. So it's not just about making known what you want, but then it's also about being real with who you are and your situation and your circumstance. So I can't help but wonder how different your relationship with Jesus would be if you were just ridiculously vulnerable and honest and real. Real about the good, real about the bad, real about how you feel. So here's what I want you to take away from this text. David's just himself. He doesn't try to be more than he is. He doesn't try to be less than he is. He doesn't try to have some eloquent prayer. He's intentional about pouring out his heart to God. So then how does that translate to your world and to mine? So I think sometimes there's a danger in this, right? Because you read the Bible, and for us, the Bible's like so over there that it's hard for us to relate it to the real world. So I want to give you a picture, a very real picture of what I think a psalm looks like today in 2017. So I'm going to bring up my friend Obi. Obi, come on up, man. And here's what I want to do is I'm just going to ask Obi a couple questions. I get the privilege of hanging out with him. And I think the thing that I like so much about Obi, just to be honest, like I man crush on Obi, right? But here's why. Not because his voice is awesome. It is. And not because he looks good and he has, you know, legit goatee, right? Here's why I man crush on Obi. It's because I'm so attracted to people who are just who they are. And so I've had opportunities to hang out with Obi, and Obi is just really real. Like, he just is who he is. And he doesn't like to be fake. It's not his goal. I'm not saying he's perfect, right? But what I love is he just owns who he is and what he's done and how he's messed up and how he's been good and this, that, and the other. And so he wrote a song that I had the opportunity to hear. And so I want him to play it for you here in a second. But before he does that, I just want to ask him some questions. So thanks, bro, for doing this. Here's the first thing. Give us just a glimpse. So I know you wrote this song, but give us a glimpse into your world of what was going on before you wrote this song and what led you to write the song.
Okay. The song is called Back to Life. And I just remember feeling dead for a long time in my life. Maybe, you know, it's a long story, so maybe we can talk about it some other time.
Talk about it when there's not too many people looking at it.
Just hit me up on whatever. But I remember sitting with, you know, when you got to have a heart-to-heart with someone. And so I remember sitting with my mom and dad, and we're debating about all the things that you fight with your parents about.
Yeah.
Who are you going to marry? What are you going to do with your job? You know, am I going to live in a retirement home? You know?
Yeah.
But really, I was really dead, and really what they were asking is, you know, like, are you okay? Like, are you still okay? And I remember my mom crying, and because she knows when I'm lying. And I didn't have any energy to keep up a facade at that time. And she just said, you know, I don't want to lose you. You know, you're my son. I don't want to lose you.
Yeah.
And my response was, I'm already gone. And I, couldn't feel my mom or my dad's love. I couldn't feel connection to anyone. So the song's called Back to Life because that's kind of what it was.
Yeah. And so you had, so you're in a moment that I'm sure there's lots of little things that have happened that lead you to a place where you feel dead inside and you're talking to your parents. And so you told me that you had this time where you felt like God spoke to you. So describe that to me, because we hear that a lot, right? Like, oh, God told me this, God told me this. But for you, what did that look like? Like, are you hanging out on your bed? Are you reading the Bible? Is there a thought in your head? Like, what happened when you feel like God spoke to you, and what did he say?
I'm trying to remember where I was. I was at home, and I mean, I want a lot of things in life, but the thing I want the most, I think, is just to not be alone.
Yeah.
And so that was my deepest fear, and I felt alone and, you know, shame and all that kind of stuff. So I remember, like, you know, it was the first time, the first time I asked God, I was like, am I alone?
Yeah.
And if you really believe in your heart that you're alone and you get a response, I mean, that changes everything. For me, it did. I mean, so all this other stuff just came out after that.
Yeah.
But that's where it all starts for me, my relationship with God, just that on this earth while I'm here, am I alone?
Yeah. And so I want to point this out. I know it's obvious, but let me point it out. So there's a time he feels dead. He's sitting, he's hanging with God, and then to his own confession, right, he just kind of asks the question. But here's the deal. I don't know that God would have answered had he not been real with his situation and asked the question, right? And so that moved, God moved in his heart and in his soul, because God is a person in that he has a personality and he can be interacted with. And so that did work in Obi's heart, but Obi had to be real with who he is. All right, so last question before we hear this song. So maybe it's just as simple.
A lot of questions, man.
So maybe it's just as simple as you're an artist and you like music, but for us, describe to us, like, why didn't you just keep that in your head? Why did it come out in a song? Why wasn't it just like, oh, cool thought, or let me go journal? Like, why did it make itself into music?
I mean, I don't know. It's like you get compelled.
Yeah.
It's like you can't keep that kind of stuff inside.
Yeah.
I don't have room for that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I love that, man. All right, dude, I'm going to let you get set up, man. Here, I hope you, I know you know this, but I hope you appreciate, man, it's hard when you get in front of 200 people and you try to express what God did in your heart and in your world. And so what he's going to share with you, this is like modern day real life. This is a song. This is what David does. David has feelings, emotions, expresses those things to God. And then what comes out is this song. And so that's what Obi did. He sat down and he wrote this song, birthed out of that interaction with God. And so what I want you to do is I just want you to hear it and let it be an example. And by an example, I don't mean that we all have to go and be artists and write songs. I just mean let it free you from this idea that you have to pretend and just be you, be who you are. Say what you want to say, do what you want to do, and then take those things to God. And so let this be an example of what that looks like. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to let Obi sing the song. And then when he does, I'll come back up and close out our time. Father God, I thank you just for the story that you're writing in my life and in Obi's life and in this church. God, I appreciate just the opportunity to know someone like Obi who just gets to be real with you. And so I thank you for the work that you started, the work that you're going to continue to do in his heart and in his life. And so I pray, Father God, that you would just begin to minister to us in the room through modern day David. And I pray all of this in your son's name. Amen.
blessed Savior. Pardon all my sins, my Redeemer. Teach me to forgive, God of David. I don't have to be ashamed. Won't you guide me? You bring me back to life. You bring me back to life. You bring me back to life. Again and again and again and again. You bring me back to life. Bring me back to life. Oh, bring me back tonight again. Freedom, I'm free, I'm free.
That's crazy, man. So here's how I want to close. Me and my wife were having this conversation the other day. I said, man, it's crazy because, like, when you go to church, you don't really pray that much. You watch other people pray. You ever notice that?
So I said, man, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna give you all like 5 excruciating minutes. Like me and Mark were talking. He was like, man, you know, 5 minutes is a long time. I was like, yeah, there's people that are gonna be awkward, but that's all right. Because see, what I wanna know is I wanna know, what's your Psalm 51? What's your Obi song? Right? Like, what's God doing in your world where you can just have the opportunity to be real? And it doesn't have to be birthed out of sin. It doesn't have to be birthed out of pain. It might be joy. Like, it could be a combination of all those things. But I would hate to leave here and not give you 5 minutes of time for you to just pour out your heart to God and whatever that looks like. So I'm going to give you 5 minutes. I promise it won't be longer than that. After that 5 minutes is up, the band will just lead us in one more song. And when they play this song, it's a song you've heard a lot, but I want you to let the lyrics of the song minister to your heart. So I'm going to pray, and then when I'm done praying, you have 5 minutes to just beseech God, whatever that looks like for you. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity to come in here and just to be known by you. I thank you that you are such a good God, that you don't reject us, that you're okay with our emotions and our feelings, whether they're positive or negative. You can handle it. And so I pray for my brothers and sisters in the room that you would just give them a spirit of vulnerability where they would just receive from you and pour out their heart to you. Even the ones who, God, pouring out their heart just means they don't get it and they're not into all of this. So, Lord, we love you, and we pray all of this in your son's name. Amen.